Live from the Dream Hotel. It's Malik, Rashid, Chief Johnson. Oh, man. We back. You know what I'm saying? We back. We back. Tapping in once again with y'all.
Yeah.
Yo, man. What's going on?
Just getting to it, man. Back to doing it, man. Just feeling summer's here.
Yeah.
Busy. Just excited about a lot of things. A lot of things going on. Really like sports. So much going on in sports right now.
Yo, the trade that just took place with Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
What's the
kid? Marcus Smart,
Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be a busy off season. You know, obviously Chris Paul just got traded. To the Wizards?
They're probably gonna waive him
or a buyout. Something like that. You know what I mean? And then you've all the names that you're hearing around, like the Clippers. You know, because Brogdon from Boston was supposed to be a Clipper.
That
fell through. So that lets you know it's gonna be an interesting offseason, a lot of movement, and I think it's gonna change the dynamic of the league, you know, where certain players end up. But the biggest one thus far, Bradley Beal.
Yeah, and Draymond opted out. There's a lot of free agents, but nobody got bread. Everybody's over luxury taxes and stuff. But yeah, the Bradley Beal trade.
What do you think?
I mean, I love Bradley Beal.
Okay.
But what are you building over there? You already got two ball dominant elite scorers, and you're adding Bradley Beal, who I feel game is similar
in a
sense to Booker's. You know what I mean? Amazing. I love Bradley Beal. Like, I think. And I love Booker and I love KD, but if you watch them in the playoffs, the Achilles heel was the bench and the defense.
Yeah, so they haven't added anything.
They haven't added anything. I don't know if they're looking at that as like now they're going to try to move Ayton, but you got to address that bench. And also, too, like it was just kind of weird. The owner of the Suns. Son is the agent of Bradley Beal.
Wait. No. What it is just to be correct, the agent of Bradley Beal
is the son. Yeah.
No, is the Wizards. Is the Wizards guy.
Oh.
Yeah, is the Wizards guy, because the new guy for the Suns is actually he played at Michigan State under Izzo.
Okay.
But like, yeah, so Bradley Beal's agent, longtime agent Mark Burlstein, or I hope I'm not butchering your name. His son is now one of the guys over in one of the hierarchy in the Suns organization. So it's like some insider trading. Like, hey, son, why don't we inquire if Bradley can be moved? You know what I mean? Which is some bullshit, because I remember, if you remember, a couple years ago when Chris Paul was,
Lakers.
Yeah, right? To the Lakers. And yeah, man. But, you know, I get it. You know, nepotism is working on all levels.
Is the ring chasing at an all-time high?
It's super ring chasing. I like, it just, players of, you know, but also it could be because of, you know, sort of the cloth that we come from where, you know, guys played for the same team at least 10 years or something, 9-8 years or a whole career. Like, think about that. Kobe Bryant stayed in the Laker uniform for his whole career.
Yeah.
Now you got guys that are looked at as like first ballot Hall of Famers or in the argument to be, you know, the greatest players of an era, are playing for like 4 and 5 teams. And we're not talking about at the end of their career when these kind of things happen. We're talking about like right in the midst of it. Like, you know, Bron's played for, you know, Cleveland, Miami, the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? KD's played for what are we talking about? Oklahoma City initially was Seattle, and has played for the Nets and has played for, you know, now playing for Phoenix and playing for the Warriors. That's like 4 teams. That's KD.
KD. I mean, like Shaq. Shaq played for.
But again, towards the end of his career, right? Yeah. But we're not. These guys are in the prime.
I mean, look at Kyrie. He's about to be possibly on his
whatever number team. I don't even know what it is with Kyrie.
It's hard to keep up, and it's also, I think, hard as a fan, like a fan base, to build like loyalty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like. Not, and I'm still riding my Nuggets wave, but you talk about like a franchise. No.
You
listen,
that.
46 years without winning a title, but a loyal fan base because, again, it's a metropolitan city, but it's a small market in a sense of like, it's not alluring. Mm-hmm. But again, they took the Warriors, they took the blueprint from San Antonio, which. You know, San Antonio is not a big market, but they built through the draft. Good moves, good free agents, and they kind of stayed the course. And now they have a nucleus that can make a run. And as a team, I think as a GM, the smart ones are the ones that are like, okay, what pieces can we put in place to where we can at least make a run for like 3 to 4 years? We may not win every year, but at least be able to go deep without having to build – every year, like, oh, so-and-so is leaving. I see Chris Middleton opted out.
Yeah.
And you're talking about Milwaukee, who is up there kind of every year now. Lopez is a free agent. You know, it's like these guys, and Middleton's already won a chip, you know what I mean?
And he's and to his credit, though, he's been there like 10 or 11 years.
Oh, yeah, and I love him. I love his game.
I get it.
I just wish, you know, again, like, I just – sometimes I feel like the moves that these GMs are making aren't really based on like the nucleus of basketball and like, does this fit?
It's like, very short when we going after it right now.
Yeah. And then when that doesn't work, you got to turn around and blow up a team again. And you're, you know, I don't know, man.
The Nuggets GM, Calvin Booth, who was a former NBA player, also played at Penn State. I think this is his first year as the GM, but he's been around the organization. And again, the way he's built, same thing for Phoenix. Like, you know, that's what I do like to see. You're seeing, especially in basketball, you're seeing a lot of these hierarchy executives, presidents, operations, GMs, you know, men of color, you know what I mean? Yeah. Who are transitioning from the hardwood up into the executive office. Like to see a lot more of that in the NFL. Like to see more ownership. That's the other thing. Michael Jordan sold the team.
That boy came off with a lick.
$275 million when he bought it. $3 billion on the
I mean, it's never been a thriving franchise. So business-wise, amazing for him. I see... J. Cole's part of the new ownership group.
That's dope. Again,
passionate about it. I don't know how big his role is going to be, but that's still an amazing thing. And
I heard he made a call for Caleb Martin. That's how Caleb Martin came to Miami. Yeah. So, and we know J. Cole's a huge Hoops fan, played, professionally over in Africa. He's been playing a couple of years now. So like I love to see that. I love to see that passion. And then it's his home team. So hopefully he'll at least if nothing else, he'll add some value. It looks like he actually, again, think of the Caleb Martin thing, like that was a guy that was playing, you know, he literally made a call and was like, yo, y'all should take a look at this guy.
Add some value to it.
So hopefully he adds some value.
Definitely want to try to get out. We'll be in Vegas, try to catch a couple of these summer league games, see some of these new cats. The league is getting so young, it's hard to keep up with, but you know, it is what it is. There's a lot of talented people, but
speaking of Vegas, we're about a month off from the one.
Yeah, man.
And you've been boxing yourself.
Yeah.
How's that?
It's dope. You know what's crazy is my trainer, shout out Coach Anthony, his favorite fighter is Bud Crawford. He said of all time.
Really?
And like
what is he saying though?
He's saying he's like, I think it's going to be a good fight, but he was just like, I think Bud just has too many tools. You know, he's too composed. He's strong. He's a technician. Yeah. You know, so hearing that from him, I was like, you know, he's going to the fight too. You know, I definitely want to, we got to be up at the fight, but I love, you know, again, both, nothing but respect for both of those guys. Bud is one of my favorite fighters too. You know, you just don't know, you know what I mean? I think Bud's going to pull it off, but
you wouldn't be surprised.
If it went the distance and it went either, you know what, I don't know if there's going to be a knockout.
I think we talked about this on a previous episode, but as it gets closer and I'm like watching like on Showtime and other places, they're showing like highlights of past fights. And I feel like the more that I watch, I do feel like it's going, look, Bud is historically a slow starter. Whereas, you know, the dude is more, Earl is high volume punch. Like he's a pressure guy. He's a guy that's going to pressure you. I think you call that a swarmer. Yeah. So he's a pressure guy. And again, styles make fights, but at the same time, I've seen Bud when he gets hit or he sees blood, he turns on, you know what I mean? And I think that, I would not be surprised to actually, the closer we get, man, I'm of the thinking that they're going to fight.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to fight. I don't think we're going to see what we saw. Like, I went to Pacquiao Mayweather. I was so disappointed. Like, it was so, you know, it was hugely hyped. And then they got in there and it was like I was watching sparring or, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was kind of crazy. These guys, like, I'm hoping that we could get, like, a Hagler-Hearns. Like, if you've ever seen the old Hagler-Hearns footage, and it's, like, four rounds of hell. Like,
yeah.
I want these guys to, you know, go at it. So,
we'll see. What I like about both of them. They don't shy away from the fight.
This is a big fight.
It's a huge fight. And the fighters, I feel like, you know, the ones that, like, have the slow start. But also, if you can have a slow start but win a couple of the early rounds without staying in your in your pocket, as later goes on and you're able to turn it on, you know, it comes down to stamina, man. Like, and that's one thing I'm learning is, like, and gives me so much more, even more respect. It's just, like, the stamina that it takes and the will and the mental. Because I know when I'm training, as I get tired, the first thing that goes is my mind. Like, I forget, like, to move, or I forget, like, you know, certain things. And so
combination.
The mental component of it is, these guys have high-level IQ. So I know as fans, sports fans who don't participate professionally, people critique those things. But I have to take a step back on that because – these guys, their IQ level and their stamina and, like, all those things put together, coordination, is like, you can't.
there's a small margin for error.
Very small.
Because the moment, you know,
yeah,
like they say, it's the punch that you don't see coming.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, like, if you're tired, man, you know how it is. When you tired, you start to let shit go. It's just like, hands pick up basketball. You like, man. You know what I mean? You're not dialed in on the play, so it's about being dialed in. So yeah, I have a huge respect for the sweet science. Yo, music, new music, Killer Mike.
That's on repeat for me right now.
The Andre 3000 verse.
Yeah, I mean, just Killer Mike in general, but like it's one of those albums that I feel like it hasn't been a lot of. It's so well put together and dialed in, and I think there's a craft to picking the collaborations that you do, and he did a masterful, the music, the talk, but anytime you get Andre, him and Future on a song, and the song, all of them get down, because Andre is, you know, he's upper echelons when it comes to MCs. Maybe people don't throw him in there because he doesn't release bodies of work like that. But this dude, but Mike did his thing on there. Future danced on that joint. You know, but just a great album in general. Like, so I'm on that heavy. Thundercat, you know, Tame Impala. I've been in a different kind of pocket. Tame Impala.
That's crazy. Okay.
You know, just kind of some of those things that allow, because sometimes I feel like you can't breathe when you listen to music, right? In a sense of like there's too much going on, there's too much to digest, and like hearing those kind of that kind of music right now for me is allowing me to like kind of be in like a different kind of space mentally.
Yo, I mean, that's music is a soundtrack of our lives. It's funny because like every time for me, it's almost like reoccurring when we get around summer. Like for me, I have a huge palette, you know, eclectic palette. Like I'm listening to Sublime shit. I'm listening to the Chili Peppers. I'm listening to old, you know what I'm saying? I'm listening to old Outkast albums, but just things that like are put. Sade is my favorite for the summer. Sade is like a huge for the summer. Like it's, I love Sade, but for the summer, it's like she's a vibe, especially, you know what I'm saying? You living out on the West Coast and up and down PCH, and you know, like it's just an extreme vibe. But yeah, to the point of Killer Mike, also I was reading, he said he feels like it's a, or someone told him it's a rebirth, like it's a reset, like as far as him, like he feels like now he can get another 10 years out of this thing because he reset, like he's on his MC shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The same dude that was, you know, early on the, you know, won a Grammy for being on an Outkast record. You know what I mean? I think he's back to that. So I love to hear and see that, you know what I mean? Like someone, the reinvention, or just as we get older and we receive information, the way in which we intake it and then we use it for our life and for our trajectory. And so I was happy. He said it was an ode to his mother, you know what I'm saying, who passed away, I guess. And I'm about to really dive in deep now on the record and listen to it from that standpoint, you know, because of what he says it means to him.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
What else is like, I'm sure you're gonna head out to Vegas soon.
Yep, headed out there next week. You know, 4th of July in Vegas is super dope. Got a lot of family coming out. Just enjoy the pool. Mainly the pool, the backyard, the pool, the AC.
You ain't got to do much. Man. You know what I'm saying? You could throw something on the grill every day, listen to music, and sit by the pool, and that's all.
You know me, man. I'm like trying to get everybody to move to Vegas. Like
everybody.
And if they stick to it, man, by 2027, they saying the bullet train should be done
from LA to Vegas,
2 hours. So, you know, get you a slab out there, and you can just. You know, I'm going to work.
Yeah, I'm saying, for real. That's a real commute.
For real, for real.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can sit in, like, you driving here to anywhere, you can sit in traffic for an hour plus.
So you might as well.
Imagine, like, coming to L.A., working, and then you go back to your nice five-bedroom crib. That's cheaper than your apartment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Real talk. But, real talk. It's beautiful out there too.
Yeah, it is. They've just. I was. I don't remember. I think I was either talking to Nate or somebody about. I feel like they have like a board that curates. Oh, actually, I was talking to my boy Youssef, who just, you know, longtime LA dude. Now is living in Vegas, but I feel like they just curate the city. Like there's a board that's just like masterful on the planning and cleaning up and like all those things. And then F1's the end of this year, so they're like repaving the streets and the you know, the freeways, and they just keep the city really clean, and you can actually see where your money's going as a taxpayer.
Got it.
You know, into that. But it's dope, man. So yeah, just kick back with the family, you know, get a little downtime and enjoy the sun, get a little melanin on these pasty legs.
Yeah,
I'm about to get them, start getting more tats though, so I don't even have to worry about that.
Wow. Nah, man, yeah. I'm excited for the remainder of the summer. You know, son graduating senior, and his journey now, this this new iteration of his journey is about to begin. I'm super excited for him. Kylie is she'll be in middle school next year, and you know she's playing volleyball at a very elite level. Shout out to Mizuno, all the Mizuno parents and shit. I'm just excited for her, man. I love watching these kids grow, man. And the summer always seems to be a time to also, like, or at least that's how I'm utilizing it, to really just wrap your arms around them and spend some real quality time with them, because we don't even realize they spend more time in the classroom than they do with us, you know, nice. on a daily basis. Because whether it's, you know, us being in and out of the house, like, to do what we have to do to provide, or it just being us also having to do things for us to keep us going, like you doing boxing, you know, but Aria might be asleep or working on a puzzle or gymnastics or whatever you got going on. So, like, the summertime is a time to obviously keep them busy, but to also just make sure you get to wrap your arms around them a little bit more. Because when school comes around, now it's like, I'd be like, damn, I'm losing you for a little bit.
And even with Aria, like, they get out of school, like, June. It was, like, the 9th or 8th. And then they already go back, like,
In August.
And I'm like, I remember we used to get September. Like a full 3 months off.
Yeah.
Your parents be like, yo, go to the Boys and Girls Club all day because you ain't going to be in this house.
Yo,
but it's cool, man. They got the steam camping. And we try to take these little vacations, you know, here and there. We're going to do like a family joint to Great Wolf Lodge.
Okay.
You know, and just break it up again. You know, you got to keep those little things in there that where you're spending quality time together and getting out the house and enjoying those moments. So, all good. Shout out to parents who are holding it down in the summertime. And you still got to work and keep the kids occupied.
Yeah, that's a balancing act. And that's what all of this is a balancing act, man. You know, we should pat ourselves on the back. You know what I mean? Like, for real, and give ourselves some grace, because I think that we both do an excellent job of that, like being providers and just trying to set the tone and the pace for our kids and family, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's all good. But yeah, man, we got to get up out of here. It's been good tapping in with y'all.
Yes, sir. Signing off.
Signing off. You know what I'm saying?
Sweet life.
Sweet life.
Make sure you, you know, continue to follow, subscribe, download.
We appreciate y'all.
And we want to start, you know, interacting a little bit more. So feel free to drop questions, you know, for us. And if you have guest suggestions or things you want us to lean in a bit more to, let us know. We appreciate y'all. And we out. Peace.